Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us today. And we're going to have a special guest on with us who's actually kind of a local flavor when it comes to political activity. And we'll introduce him in just a few minutes. He serves as a city councilman in the greater Cleveland area. But I want to give you an update as to the activities of the Ohio Christian Alliance. If you listen to this program on a weekly basis, you know we cover political and religious activity, both in the state of Ohio, nationally and internationally. Recently, with the Iraqi Christian crisis, with ISIS, the Islamic State, invading northern Iraq, and of course, committing genocide against the Christian community of the Chaldean Christians that have been there for centuries by burning churches, by killings en masse, and of course, moving on even Kurdish territory and down north of Baghdad. A very serious situation, obviously, in relation to Christians, other minorities as well, being persecuted by ISIS as they announced a caliphate state. Washington, of course, is musing over what options might be on the table for the U.S. Certainly, airstrikes and are underway, and humanitarian aid. There are many refugees now in Kurdistan who have fled the towns and villages around Tel Afar and Mosul, ancient Nineveh, and now into Kurdish territory, where they are safe there, but they have no possessions. They have really barely a roof over their head. Humanitarian aid is pouring in. Samaritan's Purse, that's Franklin Graham's organization, the son of the famed Billy Graham, has been aiding in that area for some time. So they were ready to receive many of these refugees. And, of course, also the U.S. government our Western allies are also pouring in aids and arms to the Kurdish forces as they fight back against the Islamic State. So take time to keep up on that. You can visit our website to learn more, also on Facebook, as we keep people apprised as to the developments of what these Christians are dealing with in Iraq. And that's Ohio Christian Alliance Facebook page. You just click on Ask to be a Member. It's a membership page, so we'll tag you in, but you have to request to be a member. You can also email us as well by going to our website at ohioca.org. Also want to talk to you about our Freedom Banquet coming up on September the 25th. That's Thursday night at the Villa Milano in Columbus. That's on the north side of Columbus, just past the 270 interchange there. Great facility. We've had banquets there over the years. This year's keynote speaker is Bill Fetter, who was our guest last week on the program. If you missed that special appearance by Bill last week, you'll want to tune in. Go to our website. You can link on the audio links and catch that entire interview as he talked about the history of Islam. In addition to that, we'll have State Auditor Dave Yost. It will be emceed by Bob Burney, a great pastor who has his own talk show with a Salem station in Columbus area, WRFD. So we're looking for a great evening, and the cost is minimal. It's just $55. The proceeds go to help and advance the Ohio Christian Alliance mission with our voter guide project. And so we hope that you and a friend will join us on Thursday, September 25th in Columbus. It's just about an hour and 45-minute drive down 271 or down 71, maybe 2 hours, inside of 2 hours. And it'll be a great evening, I think, that you won't forget. Well, with us on the line is Bill Brownlee. He is a councilman in Maple Heights in District 5, and he is our guest today. Bill is a family man. He's a former Marine or served in the U.S. Marine Corps. He also, of course, has made some news locally. We're going to talk about Christians serving in local office, and, of course, that's what we do at the Ohio Christian Alliance. We do encourage, in our mission statement, people to get involved, to register, to vote, to participate, and in some instances, even running for office. And in this case, this is what Bill has done. He ran for office. He did win, and he has some future plans as well. But welcome with me today, Bill Brownlee, on the program. Bill, welcome.
Oh, thanks, Chris. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, thanks for joining us today, and we're going to talk some issues here. You know, one of the things that we like to do in the Ohio Christian Alliance is encourage people to get involved, you know, as far as to inform Christians about timely issues and pending legislation, to speak for truth and morality in the public arena, to educate voters through voter guides, scorecards, and candidate forms, and to train Christian leaders for effective social and political action, and to defend against defend for the legal rights of Christians against an ever-growing anti-Christian bias. And of course, I know that you're no stranger to that. You've seen it yourself. You know, as James Garfield has said, in a nation such as this, where the people choose their leaders, if the Congress be ignorant, reckless, and corrupt, it is because the people tolerate ignorance, recklessness, and corruption. And it was Charles Finney who said, God cannot sustain this free and blessed country, which we love and pray for, unless the church will take right ground. Politics are part of religion in a country such as this, and Christians must do their duty to their country as a part of their duty to God. God will bless or curse this country in accordance to the course Christians take in politics. And that was Charles Finney. And, you know, Charles Finney was a famed evangelist who saw many a revival, many people, thousands come to Christ. In fact, Oberlin College, not far from where we're at right now, a little bit to the west of Cleveland, Lorain County, he founded Oberlin College. And so, but both these gentlemen understood, and both Ohioans, by the way, James Garfield, President James Garfield and Charles Finney, understood the importance of Christians being salt and light in the world around them. Would you agree, sir?
Most definitely. Like Charles Finney said a long time ago, Christians must do their duty. And in a government such as our own, which is, frankly, very different from the government of the New Testament, there is a connection between religion and politics. There is a connection. There is an opportunity for Christians to impact their society by entering into governance. You can't run away from it, I guess, as Christians. We have as much a duty to be involved in our society through governance just as we do through helping society, helping those less fortunate, or through raising our own families. We have just as much an obligation to be part of what happens in the public sector of our lives.
Well, that's right. And Bill, tell us a little bit about your past. You served in the U.S. military and the Marines. You're a family man. Tell us about your life.
Well, I grew up like I think most of us did, where we thought about life in terms of what am I going to be when I grow up, and that mainly connected with what job am I going to have? What am I going to do to make a living? And that was what governed most of my choices. That's what made me choose to, you know, go to this school as opposed to that school, study this as opposed to that, join the military. It was much about how am I going to earn a living? And I grew up on a farm. My dad was an extremely hard worker, learned many great skills, not the least of which was a good work ethic growing up on the farm with my dad. And then I went to school, an associate's degree in welding technology from a great school in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Then I actually joined the military. I joined the Marine Corps. It's kind of funny how I ended up in the Marine Corps, because I went down to the recruiting office, and as it is in most places, in Williamsport, all of the recruiting offices are in one place. There's the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Marine Corps, all along the same hallway. They have different offices, but they're all in the same location.
Yes.
And I had some friends who were in the Army, and I said, I'm going to go check out what the Army recruiter has to say. And so I went down, talked to them, went through their interview process, and on my way out, as I was leaving the building, I walked past another recruiting office that had a poster up on the wall, and it said something along the lines of the few, the proud, the Marines. And I thought, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to be part of the military, I might as well go all in. And so I walked through that door instead of leaving, and I signed up that day to join the Marine Corps instead of the Army, and decided to go all in serving my country, by joining the Marine Corps.
And what years did you serve, Bill?
It's 2003 to 2007.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was shortly after Iraq had begun, and a lot of people were asking me, why would you do that? You know, I think through maybe the 90s, joining the military became a really good way to earn a way to college. And it was about the benefits that you received by joining the military. And people were rather taken aback. Some of my family members and friends were taken aback that I would actually join the military and at a time where you could actually end up going to war. And I found that kind of comical, because what is the main purpose of the military if not to defend our country? And that necessitates war. But nonetheless, I joined, left in August of 2003, and got married shortly after joining, about a year after I joined, and then went to Iraq the whole year of 2006, served as part of a security detail. And then my wife and I decided to get out of the military and moved back home in 2007. Worked on the farm for a couple of years, went to Moody Bible Institute for a couple of years in Chicago, and then came back here to Cleveland to attend a broadcasting school. So that's three schools so far that I've attended. And then started my own company after I graduated from broadcasting school in 2013, and ran for city council last year in Maple Heights. And I've been on city council since January of this year.
Going back to your military career in Iraq, where were the areas that you served in Iraq?
I served in Al Anbar province. My unit was stationed about a mile, maybe, outside of Fallujah at Camp Fallujah. It's one of the largest bases there. And I was part of the security detail for the commander of the Regimental Combat Team 5. When he was there in 2006. Our detail was a convoy detail. We provided him secure transport to the various forward operating bases so that he could meet with the commanders at those bases.
Were you aware of the famed Lima Company from Ohio and their involvement in Fallujah?
I only learned of that afterward, having not been from Ohio. I hadn't heard as much about that until we came here to Ohio, and I've been asked about it, and I've learned about it since then.
I see, because they weren't, obviously they were in Fallujah, and this was right early 2005, I think, after the 2004 election is when we had, you know, there was obviously some, Fallujah was a enemy stronghold, and it was the president and the Pentagon's intent to root them out. Lima Company was heavily engaged there and took many casualties. A lot of boys from that unit did die, and they are memorialized in the Lima Company tribute, a painting of life-size painting of the young men who perished in that battle, and it tours around the state of, well, actually all around the country, actually, and they're trying to find a place for it. But have you seen that?
No, I have not had that pleasure.
When you get an opportunity, I'll give you a link as to where you can go see it. They've actually had it at the Ohio State House several times. So, well, Bill, we thank you for your service to our country, and you weren't done there. When you came home, were you married when you were in the Marine Corps?
Yes, my wife and I, Lindy and I, were married about a year and a half into my enlistment.
Okay, and then you started having kids somewhere along the line.
That we did.
And you have how many now?
Kids right after I got out. We started off with twins, so that got us on the ground running.
Yes, it did.
We have five children now from the ages of 6 to 1.
Well, bless you. That's wonderful.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And it's so, a lot of work, but it's a great blessing.
Absolutely. And so you make Ohio your home now. You are formerly from Pennsylvania, is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My family hails from south of Pittsburgh, or my parents' families do. That's still kind of home to us. But now both my wife and I, our families live if you go 80, Interstate 80, into Pennsylvania, you'll be right around where our families live.
Well, we don't want to catch you at Cleveland Stadium with one of those ridiculous towels that you flop around, okay, and wearing, you know, black and gold, okay? That's not going to happen. But anyways, we'll move on.
Yeah, we've noticed that. My
it runs deep here, my friend.
Comments.
It runs deep.
Yeah.
Anyways, it should be fun. Obviously, to get the season opener this year is going to be the Browns in Pittsburgh. That
I'm
ought
sure
to be quite
be
quite a game, actually. And so, but anyways, we'll have fun with that. Well, Bill, you're engaged, obviously, a continuing service to our country by serving as city councilman out there at Maple Heights in the 5th District. And what year are you in as councilman?
This is my first year. I was elected in November of last year, and I started in January.
Awesome. Well, you've already made some noise out there, and we're going to get to that. We're going to take a break right now. We're talking to Bill Brownlee, councilman from Maple Heights in the 5th District, and we're talking about Christians serving in office. You're listening to News and Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
I realized it was a moment.
It was a moment that changed my life.
The moment the snow started to fall,
I knew that as a citizen soldier in the National Guard, I was going to have to be ready at a moment's notice.
Some were calling it the snowstorm of the century.
Cars and tractor trailers were stranded on the interstate in 8-foot drifts.
It was still at the heart of the storm when we arrived in a convoy of Humvees. Could barely see our hands in front of our faces.
These people had been there for hours, all scared and on the verge of hypothermia.
We dug them out, got them home safely.
That's what we train for. Moments like this.
When our communities need us.
In the Guard, you serve your community as well as your country while you work or attend college full time. In return, you'll gain career skills and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Take a moment to learn more. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Ohio National Guard. Aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters in this station.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back. You're listening to News in Focus. I'm your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. You can learn more about the Ohio Christian Alliance at our website at ohioca.org. You can also follow us on Twitter and also on Facebook. You can request to be a member and also on YouTube. With me on the program today is Bill Brownlee. He is councilman from Maple Heights 5th District. We're talking about Christians serving in office, and we talked about the importance of people of faith stepping up to the plate and serving publicly. Bill has served in the U.S. military, and now back in civilian life, he is serving in the council there at Maple Heights, and he's making a difference. Bill, welcome back to the program.
Thanks again, Chris. I really appreciate it.
Well, this last year, there was a couple of issues that came up in council, and so actually it became newsworthy because you were trying to have open debate on an issue that was pertinent to the community where people wanted to have their views expressed, but it seemed like members of council had something else in mind, and they had you removed from the chamber, the council chambers. Tell us what happened there.
Yes, this was the most extreme case of many instances like it, where the council president didn't want to have certain opinions expressed and therefore was not permitting discussion. It would kind of, frankly, as I say that, reminds me of boot camp, where if they didn't want you to be able to request something, they wouldn't say you couldn't ask questions. They just simply say you couldn't speak. And so if they didn't want you to go use the head at the moment, they wouldn't tell you you couldn't use the head. They just tell you you couldn't talk. So therefore, you couldn't ask to go use the head. So that's kind of the same games that were being played in city council, where they didn't want, or the certain people didn't want discussion to happen. And so instead of letting things start to unfold, they simply nipped it in the bud and didn't want to permit any discussion whatsoever. So I would try to speak on issues, and the council president would, if you're familiar with parliamentary procedure, the way it's supposed to work is that a motion is brought forward, say it's to pass a new law, and the council president, the president of the body, will read the introduction to that law so that everyone's aware of what you're discussing. And then that person, the president, will ask for discussion. And then if there's no discussion, they will ask for a vote on that motion. Well, what the president was doing was skipping that second step. She was having the legislation read and then skipping right over discussion and into the vote. And since she didn't understand how parliamentary procedure was even supposed to work, she thought she was simply permitted to do that. And so that was her way of not letting me make dissenting comments. But at that point in time, I would let her know that that was not according to parliamentary procedure, that she was actually bound by these other rules to allow discussion prior to a vote. But at that point in time, she would simply tell me that I wasn't allowed to talk at all. And so you can see how this would devolve. It would be like trying to play football with a referee who doesn't understand that there's four downs instead of three downs. It would become very frustrating very quickly, and it would be hard to actually play the game. So that's what was happening in our chambers, and it was becoming more frequent to the point where in May, when an issue came up that was a very important issue, and I had a dissenting opinion to express, she chose to cut me off in my comments and not permit me to make any further comments on this topic. So she ended discussion, and of course, I again appealed her decision, which a council person is permitted to do according to parliamentary procedure, and she simply ignored my request, and it appears now, if you go back to watch the video, which they're all online at Maple Heights News on YouTube, you can see that this was kind of pre-orchestrated, and she asked the police chief to escort me out, which he is not permitted to do according to the rules of our council and the rules of parliamentary procedure, which are binding upon
right.
our body.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
how
people
long is
saw
she...
that.
How
people
long
saw
did
that
yeah,
as kind of a small thing, and what people didn't realize, and frankly, I didn't realize until afterward, is that when she told me to leave, she told all of the people that I represent to leave, and we were not permitted to vote on the legislation
right.
that came up. And so she didn't squelch me. She squelched an entire section of our populace in Maple Heights by having me illegally. This is not right, and this is a very important thing to get right. And so he actually went, you know, God bless him, he went and got a copy of parliamentary procedure, a little guidebook, and began to familiarize himself with these
yeah.
rules because he began to see that it was important. See, that's the hitch, is a lot of people don't see it as important. They think as long as we're getting things, quote, done, everything's okay. And so they look at rules. Sometimes we look at rules or procedures as cumbersome, and we don't realize why they're there and how important they can really be for us.
Well, that's right. And as you said, to forgo the three readings, they would declare an emergency. And I've seen this done in city councils before, where when they really just want to rush something through, they don't want to go through the cumbersome process of having three readings, but the reason for those readings is so that the community might step in and have input and give expression mm-hmm. to what is being considered, what motion, what ordinance is being considered. And, of course, council, once they get there, it's almost like, well, we know better than you, and we're just going to declare an emergency, therefore we can skip the three readings, go cut to the chase. And she wanted to cut the chase, not only the community weighing in, she didn't want members of council to weigh in. And this is a foul use of government. It's a misuse of governmental power. How long has she served on city council?
I believe that she's in her fourth or fifth term.
So
yeah, in a two-year term. So she's been on council as council president, which is a separately elected position. We don't elect the president from the members of the seven council districts. We have a separate position, which is council president. She's been council president for at least 6 years, I believe.
Again, we're talking to Bill Brownlee, a councilman from Maple Heights in the 5th District. We're talking about a recent occurrence this last year of holding public hearings at city council and being able to have your voice heard. This is very important to me. Obviously, you know, working at the State House, when a bill is being considered and you have three readings, you have the sponsors hearing, you have interested party, you have proponents, opponents, and interested party. You have at least three readings. You could have many more, quite honestly, depending upon how long the debate goes on hearings on a bill. And that's for it to have its day in the sunshine, as it were, so that people can weigh in. And quite honestly, if you've got a good idea, let's say that you're fully committed behind your proposal, and you think this is going to be good for the community, it's going to be good for, let's say, business interests or whatever, you know, for the economy of the community, or conversely on the state level, having the process of the hearings is a way to win over the hearts and minds of your countrymen to your position. Now, you're not going to win everybody over. There's always going to be opponents for one reason or another, okay? But the point of it is to have that open debate so that we can have an adult discussion on what's being considered. And this is what you were bringing to the council and saying, wait a second, hello, raising your hand. I've got a point objection. I have a point to make. And she was trying to roughshod you right over you and not give you any opportunity. As an elected official representing your constituents in the 5th District, we've seen a lot of that over the years, and I'm glad you took a stand, Bill.
Yeah, I didn't expect to end up on Channel 19 News the next day, but I'm glad that I did, because often what happens, like I mentioned earlier, you had asked how long have some of these individuals been on council, and the council president's been on for a long time, as well as other members, but they haven't grown in their understanding of the process. They simply picked it up from who went before them, didn't ask questions whether it should be this way or should it be that way, how should it be. They even had the nerve, now looking back, the nerve, whenever the three of new council members were elected, in January when we started, they gave us an orientation. They gave us a packet with city laws, state laws that we needed to familiarize ourselves with.
Right.
Sunshine laws. And they said, you know, you need to read over this. I've come to find out that I'm the only one on council who really understands how these things work. All those standing members have not read that. They haven't read those things. The very things they told us to read. And the council president is extremely unfamiliar. It's very bad for our city, unfamiliar with these rules, yet had the audacity to tell us to familiarize ourselves with them. Mm. So when I stepped into this position, I assumed, since they had told me to do this research, that they had done it themselves, and we were going to be able to have a cogent discussion about how things should be done based on some objective authority. Well, I quickly came to realize in the first month that was not going to be the case. And, you know, it's very sad, because it punishes the residents, the people of the city. They are punished because they're not punished. They are harmed because they feel that their government can't take care of them because it doesn't do things appropriately. Once again, back to that, there are rules for a reason. There are general practices for a reason. There are regulations, guidelines usually for a reason.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
To simply come up with your own way of doing things because it's the way it's been done or we perceive it works, that's not a good way to run a business or a government. So it really harms the residents.
Well, that's right. That's right. And you're looking out for the interest of your constituents by giving them an opportunity, one, for you as you represent them to ask questions pertinent to the bills that are being considered, legislation, ordinances being considered before council, so that you might give a clear answer as to what just passed rather than something that was rubber stamped along the way just because leadership and the mayor want it. That's not really good government. That's, you know, that's not the way our founders established it. You know, something you said about they gave you a book to read of laws of city and state ordinances that would be pertinent to your position, and you took the time to actually read it. You know, they're probably in the back room and said, that guy actually took time to read it. You know, it's like they're probably used to nobody actually taking time to actually read the stuff they present. And I'll give you an example down at the Ohio State House. Former State Senator Tim Grindel served in the Ohio House and the Ohio Senate. He's now a judge up there in Geauga County. He was appointed by Governor Kasich. But Tim and I, we got along really well down there at the State House. One, we had the idea of introducing the Founding of American Documents Bill, and that is the Constitutional Studies in American Government History courses. We finally, after 10 years of trying, got that through. And again, like I said, you go through the process. We had to reintroduce it every time, every 2 years for the new session. And eventually we won people over because they said, hey, you know what? This is a good idea. Our kids aren't learning about our way of life as American, founding of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our Declaration of Independence, you know, the Howe Constitution, the Northwest Ordinance, the Federalist Papers. Our kids ought to be learning how our founding fathers, how they put this together and why and what their rights are. And so we got a majority in both chambers to agree, and Governor Kasich signed it, and it's now the law of the land to be taught in all of Ohio schools. It took us 10 years to get that through, the Founding of American Documents curriculum. But one of the stories that Tim tells me when I first went down to meet with him, and one of the things we do as the Ohio Christian Alliance is we meet with legislators. And if a new person is elected to office, we'll call for an appointment, we'll go down, we'll pray with them. We'll introduce the work that we do on pro-life, pro-family legislation. And, you know, he says, you know, it is my practice, my habit, to read the Ohio Constitution at the beginning of every session. And I said, what a novel idea. If you're going to make laws, it's important to know what the Ohio Constitution states. And, you know, that stuck with me. And he said, you would be surprised how many legislators down here who have never opened or read the Ohio Constitution. Well, what he ended up doing was, out of his own pocket and expense, he had printed the Ohio Constitution and passed it out to all of his fellow colleagues, which I thought was a great idea, both in the Ohio House and the Ohio Senate. So he really practiced it, okay? The preamble to the Ohio Constitution, we the people of the state of Ohio, grateful to Almighty God for our freedom to secure its blessings and promote our common welfare, do establish this Constitution. Constitution is a guideline. You know, as George Washington said, the U.S. Constitution, it is the guide which I will never depart. When we look in Washington today, we see Barack Obama, he doesn't recognize the U.S. Constitution. He wants to govern as if he was some kind of king. And I mean that. I mean, we're seeing him just give executive order after executive order, bypassing the right of Congress on a local level. This is what you were doing with this council president who didn't think that the public nor you had a right to weigh in on this legislation.
Mm-hmm. When people, here's the thing for me, Chris. One of the things for me is that I'm frustrated with how much we focus on the federal government as Christians who are concerned, or just Christians in general, or the populace at large. We focus on the federal government. Oh, we're talking about the president, the Congress, the U.S. Constitution, all these, and those are things that we should be informed on. But we do that to the neglect of the very same types of issues that are happening on a local level, and at the local level, we could actually impact it. You know, Bill Brownlee and outside of Cleveland, Ohio, can't really make an impact on how the U.S. Congress views the Constitution. But Bill Brownlee can make an impact on how the people of Maple Heights and the city council, the legislative body of Maple Heights, view their charter and view parliamentary procedure. I remember making the comments at one of the meetings that we are disregarding parliamentary procedure. That's foolishness. You're talking about the federal government maybe disregarding certain parts of the Constitution or the framers' intent.
That's right.
And the danger in that is that they're thumbing their nose at wisdom. It's not merely a rules, like, oh, someone made up these arbitrary rules. There was a lot of wisdom in those rules. At the local level, talking about parliamentary procedure and the governing of our meetings, to thumb your nose at parliamentary procedure, you're not thumbing your nose at a book of arbitrary rules. You're thumbing your nose at thousands of years of wisdom. Thousands of years of wisdom have shaped those rules, all the way going back to Greece and then Rome and then English law. They figured out how to do things. To say something like, oh, the parliamentary procedure just bogs things down, is completely facetious. Because over thousands of years, mankind in Western thought has considered how can we do things more efficiently, more judiciously. And they've come up with these laws, which are now embodied in the latest edition of, parliamentary procedure. So to thumb your nose at rules is to really thumb your nose at wisdom sometimes.
And these founders really turned towards heaven to understand, first of all, as wise and learned men who understood the various forms of government that existed throughout human history. They took examples and debated democracies and monarchies and all forms of types of government, oligarchies, and they began to talk about what would be the best form of government. And it's the longest standing constitution on the planet. And yet, we have an administration that disregards it. But I really believe, Bill, that the Constitution's going to have the final word with this administration when it comes to, when it comes to the end. In fact, one of the things the founders put in place was the balance of the courts. You have an executive branch, you have a legislative branch, and you have the judicial branch. We already see that the judicial branch is already checking the executive branch by a number of the executive orders, the recess appointments. The U.S. Supreme Court has slapped back the administration and made decisions against them, Mr. Obama. So this is the balance of power because, it was like George Washington when they wanted to give him, your supreme presidency. And it was John Adams who had came up with some of these loopy names, okay? And he was the vice president. And, of course, he was trying to give honor to the office and to George Washington. And Mr. Washington, George Washington, looked at him sternly and said, "It's just Mr. President, Mr. Adams." And he was being adamant about that this is just, I'm just an executive. I'm just here as an executive as the Constitution defines. He worked within and lived within the confines of the Constitution. And at the end of his term, he left office. That's when the King of England said, if he steps down, he truly will be the greatest man in the world. Well, what is that saying?
Right.
It's actually the greatest constitution form of government because it is we the people. And that's what you were doing, Bill, and you were doing it on a local level. And as they say, all politics is local. And so that's why I'm glad we're having you on the program today, because we want to hear from the voices of those who serve on city councils, county councils, county trustees, because they're working the government and serving the community in the local level. And the same type of practices, principles, and honor and trust abides there as it does it for a state rep, a congressman, or a U.S. senator.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
I was studying. I am studying now at Notre Dame College here in Cleveland, and one of my professors, I was talking with him after class yesterday, and we were discussing American politics and how the system in which we live is so unique and so wonderful. It has its flaws. Nothing's perfect, just like there's no perfect church.
Yes.
It's still a wonderful system. I told him that I went to Moody Bible Institute for a couple of years, and he said, "Oh, so you want to be in the ministry, and you want to be a preacher?" And I said, "Yeah, I would like that. I would enjoy that. But right now, I think God has called me to bring glory to Him beyond what we naturally think or commonly think of as ministry. We usually think it's a pastor, it's an evangelist, something like that. That's someone in the ministry, someone helping right. the homeless. But it's just as much serving God and bringing glory to Him to be involved in governance so that you can steer a community to align itself with the ideals, with the rules, the laws of God. Remember, like it says in the Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature and nature's God. If we begin to get away from that, it is very much a Christian thing to intervene and say, no, we want our society, which government is part of our society, to be aligned with God's ideas of how things should be done. So for me, this is ministry. This is ministry, and it's beyond simply making Christian references in my remarks like, may God bless Maple Heights. It's the real down and dirty everyday work of saying, no, our laws need to reflect God's laws. We need to be just with one another. We need to love one another. What does that look like in politics? What does that look like in governing a city? To love everyone, to treat everyone equally, to foster community within the city. How can the government do those kinds of things that will bring glory to God and His creation?
Well, that's exactly right, and that's well said, Bill. We're talking to Bill Brownlee, who is councilman in Maple Heights in the 5th District, and a committed Christian, and a father, and a family man. And we're talking about the importance of Christians serving in government, and whether that be at city councils, your local PTA meeting, a trustee, county council, state rep, Congress, or the U.S. Senate. Wherever we're at in our station in life, we need to be faithful. We need to be examples for the Lord and to be salt and light in the earth. And so that's what we're talking about this afternoon. We're going to take a quick break right now. We're going to be back with the close of our program today. We're also going to give you information about our upcoming Freedom Banquet, and that's going to be September the 25th. We'll give you details right on the other side of the break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment.
It was a moment that changed my life.
We looked down from the chopper and saw the whole area was flooded.
At that moment, it really hit me. This is why I joined the Guard.
People had gone up to the rooftops to escape the rising waters.
Talk about intense moments. We had to lower the guys on line some 30 feet down.
This is where teamwork and training really paid off.
It took steady nerves and steady hands for the chopper pilots to hover like that.
No question, Guard pilots are the best in the world.
I couldn't believe it. I just saved a life.
What could be better than serving the people of my hometown?
In the National Guard, you serve your community as well as your country. While you work or attend college, in return, you gain skills in which you can build a career and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Ohio National Guard, aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters in this station.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
And we're back with Bill Brownlee, who is City Councilman of Maple Heights 5th District, and we're going to get back to our discussion with Bill in just a minute, but let's give you an update on the Freedom Banquet, the Fall Freedom Banquet of the Ohio Christian Alliance, coming up on Thursday, September 25th at the Villa Milano in Columbus. Details are on our website at ohioca.org, and we hope that you'll log on and join us that night. Our keynote speaker will be our recent guest. That's Bill Fetter of the American Minute. Bill was on last week's program talking about the history of Islam and its impact on today's world, as we can see with the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda and the caliphate that is underway throughout the Middle East, and the totalitarian genocide from this group, ISIS, and what their intent is. And you get an idea of that from the history of Islam. You can hear that entire broadcast on our website at ohioca.org. Our MC for the evening will be Bob Burney. He is a Drive Time talk show host on the Salem Network down in Columbus and WRFD, a good pastor friend of the Ohio Christian Alliance, an advisor of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and State Auditor Dave Yost as well. So we hope that you'll join us. There'll be some other special guests, and we will be celebrating the bicentennial of our national anthem. That's right. This is the 200th year of the national anthem of the War of 1812, when Francis Scott Key put that that lyric into song, and that's what we sing, not just before ball games, but it is our national pride, our national anthem. We will be presenting the Freedom Award that night as well to Bill Fetter and for his work, and we'll be, of course, acknowledging the passage of the D-Day Landing Prayer Act. So we hope that you'll join us on Thursday, September 25th. Well, we have a few minutes left in the program, and I want to get back to Bill. Bill, again, thanks for being on the program today. This has been very helpful, I think, to the listeners to understand why we should run for public office as Christians and get involved, and what that might actually mean when we engage and we speak our minds as God's people, and when you see something that's not quite right, to be able to speak up about it. And that's what this republic's all about. You know, it was John Adams who said, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the governance of any other." And it was Thomas Jefferson that said, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in the state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be." And so it's so important to educate the public on these things. You know, it's Hosea, the prophet, that says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it's important that on this program we attempt to bring educational guests and topics that are of interest to the listeners. But I just want to ask you what your constituents have been saying about your activities on council, and what kind of feedback you're getting from the folks.
Well, as you said earlier in the program, there's always a few who, you never please everyone. But a lot of the things that I am fighting earnestly for are ideas that are intuitive to people. It's intuitive to people that everyone should be heard. Even if you don't like their opinion, even if they don't say it well, even if they've said it before, everyone's entitled to be heard. So they connect with that one. They also connect with the idea that all the business of the city should be conducted in an open and forthcoming manner. There should be as much access as the city can possibly give for the residents to see what's happening. These are things that people naturally connect with. If there's rules, they shouldn't just be thrown out for the sake of expediency. They understand that there are inherent dangers in that. At least the general public does. So most people have been very pleased. And I look at this and I say, kind of like Mordecai said to Esther, perhaps you were brought here for such a time as this. Because I see that people have felt in Maple Heights for a long time that there's really little they can do to change what's been happening, to influence their government. And they've been wearied by it and beat down by it, and they've become disengaged because of it. But now they're beginning to see that someone cares to hear what they have to say.
Yes.
That they'll call them back whenever they send that person an email or leave them a voicemail. And that they can have access to information now. So it really changes the whole dynamic, and people are excited about it.
Bill, how can people reach you if they wanted to contact you? Obviously, some of your listeners there in Maple Heights, how can they contact you?
Well, they can visit my website. They can either go to MapleHeightsNews.org. That's a news website my wife and I have started. So that's MapleHeightsNews.org. Or they can visit BillBrownlee.org. That's BillBrownlee with two E's, .org.
Bill, thanks for being my guest today. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you, too.
Well, you've been listening to the Ohio Christian Alliance broadcast, News in Focus. We come to you each week at the same time. We hope that you'll join us next week as well. Check out our website at ohioca.org.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.